You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers has signed a bill creating 12 new circuit court branches over the next several years, and it's a move that aims to address backlogs in the state judicial system. This is the first expansion of the state court system in a decade. Have you experienced a delay in a legal proceeding? Attorneys, let's hear from you. What could be done to improve local courts? Have court dates been in a reasonable amount of time for your clients? We're at 800-642-1234. Judge Randy Koshnick is director of state courts and is the top non-judicial officer in the court system. He works with chief justices in Wisconsin's 9 judicial administrative districts and is responsible for personnel, budgeting, and IT. He came to the post in 2017. Judge Koshnick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Good morning, Kate.
Well, let's start with what circuit court branches do. Tell us what goes on in the circuit courts.
Circuit courts are the general jurisdiction courts in Wisconsin, so they would handle a wide variety of cases you might read about in the newspaper. Criminal cases, family cases, including divorce, civil cases, you know, car accidents, medical malpractice, contract disputes, probate matters involving trust and estates, and small claims cases. Those are the main categories. There's a number of other lesser-known categories. But you're most likely to have contact in Wisconsin if you go to court with a circuit court.
Governor Evers signed this legislation to create 12 new circuit court branches over the next 3 years. Why are these new courts needed?
Well, a number of demands are being placed on the system, and in certain areas of the state, we've had backlogs developing, resulting in cases being delayed. One of the big factors in the past several years has been the heroin, opioid, meth crisis, especially in some of our more rural counties. And so that has a related impact on the number of crimes that are committed and criminal cases that are charged. And so my office, among other things, you know, monitors the court's performance on a daily basis. We haven't had new judgeships added to Wisconsin in 10 years. And so we really had reached a point about 2 or 3 years ago when we decided we needed to go to the legislature and the governor and ask for new branches in some specific counties.
So when you say a backlog, I can't visualize that. What does that mean for these judges in parts of the state?
Well, it's similar to a doctor's office, I suppose, would be a good analogy. You've got so many hours in the day you can hold court, typically 8 hours a day to hold court sessions. And so the more cases you have, you know, the more slots you have to find for those cases. You need to make sure that the litigants in each case are given a full opportunity to be heard. And so you can't really compartmentalize hearings into specific time periods without, in many cases, depriving someone of their right to be heard. And related to the opioid and meth crisis, we've been really trying to develop treatment courts around the state. And these are effective at reducing recidivism and providing rehabilitation opportunities to nonviolent criminal offenders, but they're also much more time-consuming for the court system. And so as you have more complicated hearings that take more judicial resources, you can see how the scheduling would be affected, and it would take longer and longer to get into court in front of a judge.
Why are treatment courts more time consuming? What is going on in these types of cases that is different from others?
Treatment courts have been proven by research and data that's been done around the country to be very effective at reducing recidivism by providing court-monitored counseling rehabilitation services. And so in a typical nonviolent felony case where the person enters a plea as opposed to have a trial, it might take 2 or 3 hours of court time. The person has a few preliminary hearings, pleads guilty, gets sentenced. It might be 2 or 3 hours of court time. With a treatment court program, that defendant is appearing in front of that judge perhaps every week, maybe every other week, depending on his or her progress, and that can last for anywhere from 1 to 2 years. So you can see how there would be an exponential increase in the demand on the court system. A typical nonviolent felony case would take 2 or 3 hours. Under the traditional process, it might take 12 or 15 or 20 hours of court time under the treatment court process. And so that has an effect when it's spread across thousands of cases around the state.
We're talking with Judge Randy Koshnick, Wisconsin's Director of State Courts. We're talking about Assembly Bill 470, which creates 12 new circuit court branches in our state. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Have you seen the backlog where you are? Are there things that could be improved in local courts? What things are they doing right in your courtroom? Do you need another court where you live? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Judge Koshnaig, you have to consider factors as where you put these new courts. What are you looking at?
Well, some of the main factors would be the judicial workload. So many of these counties that are receiving new branches are one, two, or three judge counties. Many of them are rural counties. And in many of these counties, the judges are at 150% of a normal caseload. So not only are they working very hard, which they don't mind, but there aren't enough hours in the day to get all the cases on the calendar. So judicial workload is one of the primary factors. Whether the county's developing a treatment court, because we're trying to encourage treatment courts, and we need to give judges the resources to do a good job with the treatment courts. When you're running a treatment court, there are scientifically established standards you have to follow to make sure you do things right. And so you can't take shortcuts, because that can result in actually doing harm rather than doing good. And so we look at whether they're developing a treatment court. We look at the county resources as well. You know, so a county, if they're going to receive a new judgeship, has to have a courtroom for the judge. The judgeship bill essentially provides state funding to pay the judge's salary and benefits and the salary and benefits for the judge's court reporter. Everything else really falls on the county. So the county has to build the courtroom, provide security, typically by a bailiff through the sheriff's office. Clerk of court needs to be staffing the court as well. So it's a state-county partnership. We need to make sure that the county is ready to have that court in operation. Another major factor is regional needs. We might have a number of one-judge counties that are all experiencing backlogs. So if we can strategically create a new branch in that group of counties, that judge actually can be assigned to cases in nearby counties to help relieve their backlogs as well. So regional need is another factor that we consider.
So far, for the first four new court branches for 2021, you've chosen Calumet, Dunn, Jackson, and Marathon counties. As you work with these counties, do they have the resources to support a new court?
Yes, they do. We've been working on this formally for the past 3 years. And so my district court administrators, who are local administrators basically, are working with the counties and the judges in these individual counties to make sure that they have the facilities that are ready. So those four counties, many of them, three of them, actually have had courtrooms ready for more than 5 years. So there have been repeated attempts at a judgeship bill. It's difficult to get a bill through the legislature and to the governors, you might imagine. Most bills, I think, that are generated don't result in the law being passed. So yes, those counties are ready right now. I've got eight more I'm considering for the next 3 years overall. Some of them are still in the development and building process. We'll be monitoring them to make sure they're ready to receive and accommodate the judgeship before they're actually officially named.
Well, let's take a call now. Rick is joining us from Holman this morning. Hi, Rick.
Well, good morning.
Go ahead. What's your question? Yeah.
Yeah, I have a question for you, sir. It was a few months ago. I was woken up at 3 a.m, walked out my door, and there's 8 police cars. And my house was surrounded by SWAT, full gear. They also came in my house without a warrant, took a gun and a knife, and I still don't have them back. And this was back in October, and the police still have them. Because apparently you passed a law that says you have to get fingerprinted to get stuff out of evidence. So I'm just, I didn't think we had red flag laws yet. And
so Rick is concerned about the time it takes, once items are confiscated, like weapons, the time it takes to, in the process of getting these items back. Judge, can you comment on that?
Well, I need to be clear. I'm not allowed to comment on any individual or specific case, because even though I'm an administrator, I'm still a judge. And so judges are ethically prohibited in Wisconsin from commenting on individual cases that may be pending. In a general sense, what we're talking about here is really a law enforcement issue as far as the items being seized and being kept in evidence. There is a provision in state law for a person or citizen whose property has been taken by law enforcement to request the court to return the items. It's a pretty simple procedure. It's always best to have a lawyer to handle a legal matter, but you're not legally required to have a lawyer. So the person files a written request with the court, identifying the property that was seized, when it was seized, which law enforcement agency seized it. And then typically the judge will schedule a hearing. The district attorney will come in with the police and either agree to return the evidence or explain to the judge why they need the evidence to investigate or prosecute a case. So there is an orderly process that's available. And I would recommend that somebody in that situation at least consult with a lawyer for guidance on how best to pursue retrieving their property.
Judge Koshnick, as you look at the setup of these new courts, you mentioned the state pays for the new judge and the court reporter, but the county picks up the other costs like the clerk and the bailiff. What about the attorneys involved here, especially the public defenders? Will there be enough public defenders to be able to adequately staff these new courts?
Well, that's a good point. The district attorneys and the public defenders in Wisconsin are paid for the most part by the state. Like many things in the Wisconsin court system are a partnership between the state and the county. But the DAs and the ADAs, assistant district attorneys, are state employees. Staff public defenders are also state-paid attorneys. Some public defender cases are assigned out to private lawyers who are paid with a combination of state and county funds to take those cases. So as part of this overall court package, the legislature did and the governor did grant 60-plus new assistant district attorney positions around the state. They also increased the private bar rate. So the state was paying private lawyers who take public defender cases $40 an hour up until last year. And that was really inadequate to cover a lawyer's actual expenses in most cases. I think it was the lowest of the nation. Now it's $70 an hour, so that's a pretty significant increase. You're not going to get rich doing those cases as a lawyer, but many lawyers, you know, understand their obligation to contribute to the system and to take cases for less than they could probably charge a private paying client in order to serve the public. And
we have to pause there with Judge Randy Koshnick, with Director of State Courts, back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about what's behind the creation of 12 new circuit court branches in Wisconsin. Our state currently has 249 judges, and the last circuit court branch was added in 2010 when a judicial assessment showed a need for 18 more judges. Do you work in the court system? Do you feel overwhelmed by many more drug-related cases? Will additional judges address the issue, or do you see a need for other supports in the system? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Judge Randy Koshnick is Director of State Courts, and he stays with us. Judge Koshnick, when you mentioned there that some judges are at 150% caseload, are you worried at all that justice is being compromised, that we are carrying out people's rights accordingly?
Very much so. I mean, adherence to the constitutional requirements is the primary thing that I do in the court system. We need to make sure that we protect individual rights and uphold the rule of law. So there are other things that I can do for a judge who's overworked. We have retired judges called reserve judges. They're sort of like substitute teachers. I can hire them on a daily basis to fill in where extra help is needed. So one of the counties that's getting a new judgeship, for example, Marathon County, had pretty big backlog. And so what I did is, working with the local judges and my local administrators, we appointed a reserve judge to go there one or two days every week and to run an extra courtroom to help process some of these cases. So yes, I'm very sensitive to people waiting for hearings, especially when there's a liberty interest at stake. If you have a person in jail who's not been convicted, they're presumed innocent, they're in jail usually because of a cash bail that's been set. We need to make sure that their case is processed in a timely manner. And so we do place a priority on cases involving liberty interests. And I can also transfer judges between counties. So if one judge in one county has a very large workload and the other county judge does not have a full workload, I can send that second judge to the first county to help out.
Explain where the new judges for these courts come from and how the elections work.
Well, judges in Wisconsin are nonpartisan officers, and so we have our nonpartisan elections in Wisconsin in the spring. And the way this judgeship bill will work is, in spring of 2021, we'll have the four new judgeships on the ballot. if there's more than two people running for each position, we have a primary election in February, and then the top two vote getters in the primary stand in the general election, which is in April. And so they will be elected for 6-year terms. If there's a vacancy during the middle of a term, then the governor appoints someone to fill in the vacancy until the term is up for election the next time.
Do you find, as a judge, that there is interest in serving in these capacities, in these positions?
Oh, yes. I think that most lawyers aspire to be a judge at some point. It is a position of great honor and great public service. You're deciding really important matters for people, members in your community. If you want to be a circuit court judge, you need to be a resident of that county to serve. So when I was on the bench in Jefferson County for 18 years, I lived in Jefferson County. I ran for election every 6 years. I'd go out and meet the people at various, you know, meetings and organizations to stay in touch with them. And yes, I think that that's very important for judges to stay in touch with the people that they serve.
Talking with Judge Randy Koshnick, director of the state court system since 2017, looking at Governor Evers signing legislation recently creating 12 new circuit court branches in Wisconsin over the next 3 years and what that means. Still time for your thoughts on this, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Judge Koshnick, some would think that having more courts and more judges and more cases means more people being sent to prison. Do you see a connection there?
I can see where people might intuitively reach that conclusion, but what the data tells us is that that's not necessarily the case. And so one of the beautiful things here, Kate, was that not only did we have broad bipartisan support for the judgeship bill and the assistant district attorney positions, we also had all three branches of government involved and working together, collaborating to find solutions that make sense. So when Governor Evers signed the judgeship bill in Wausau last week on Thursday, we had many judges there, we had the governor there, members of his staff, and also several legislators. So it was bipartisan and all three branches of Wisconsin government working together. And what the research tells us with these treatment courts especially is if you treat someone who has a drug addiction problem that causes them to engage in criminal behavior, if you treat them effectively following established standards, you can decrease the likelihood that they need to be incarcerated for a lengthy period of time. So we're actually hoping to drive down the number of people in prison or the length of time that people need to serve in prison, because they obviously pose less of a risk to the public if they've been effectively treated and assisted in finding, you know, employment or other productive means of contributing to society. So I'm hoping that we can drive down incarceration costs and redirect those resources to rehabilitation, reduce recidivism, help the individual, improve public safety. It's a win-win.
Do you see treatment courts as the way of the future here in Wisconsin as we look at this opioid epidemic and how to address it?
I do. I mean, we had a treatment court when I was on the bench in Jefferson County. We had an OWI treatment court, so it was an alcohol offense treatment court. And I saw individuals come through with repeat drunk driving offenses who, under the old system, would have been locked up for a long time in jail or prison, maybe receive treatment, maybe not, get out to reoffend again because the underlying issue was never resolved. With the treatment court, you still go to jail for repeat drunk driving because that's mandatory. But when you're in jail from day one, you start receiving treatment services, and then you're slowly given more release privileges to go to treatment. You're tested daily or every few days for alcohol. There's mandatory counseling. You appear in front of that judge every week and answer for your behavior. You're rewarded if you're making progress, and you're given a consequence, typically a few days in jail, if you don't follow through with your obligations. So people have come through these treatment courts. At the end, they have a graduation ceremony. Lives are changed. You know, people are restored to being productive members of society, and they're working around the state and around the country. In fact, there's, you know, studies and research that tells us that if you do it right, it works. I should mention, Kate, we have information on our court website, wicourts.gov. Under programs, there's a description that has many details about treatment courts and other problem-solving courts, and what the research is that tells us how well they work.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Mark is with us from Baraboo this morning. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking the call. Director, I'm calling in part because of course, concerns about coronavirus and how that ties into our circumstances of incarceration. And you'd referenced earlier the numbers of people in prison and how that's reflective of how we're approaching crime. I work in the court system, and one thing that I'm concerned about is even though we've put a lot of money into technology, we still have circumstances where we're arresting people and making them appear in person in courts. Can technology be utilized and leveraged so that we can have people appear in different jurisdictions, perhaps, and so we don't have incarceration holding people on warrants when otherwise we don't have to have them in custody, potentially exposing them to health circumstances that are negative. And also, as we look at things, mandatory arrests and incarceration for people on low-level offenses, marijuana offenses, nonviolent offenders, we're still incarcerating them. Can the director of state courts take a position on advocating for greater use of technology so that these nonviolent charged people may not have to see incarceration?
Mark, I want to pause there so the judge has time to respond to you. First on COVID-19, Judge Koshnick.
Yes. Now, I have to be careful. I don't take positions on potentially political issues like mandatory arrest and different laws. That's an executive legislative function. The courts administer cases. So I'm limited to, you know, efficient operation of the courts, protecting individual rights and providing due process. But yes, we do have video conference systems in many courtrooms around the state, and we use those frequently to allow perhaps defendants who are in custody in a distant location to appear the same day or the day following their arrest by video, rather than sitting in jail and waiting perhaps 3 or 4 days for a sheriff's deputy to drive up to the other county and bring them back to court. We have lawyers who appear by video conferencing frequently. These are systems that are installed by each county, so it can vary from county to county. And the court system also does have some software that allows for video conferencing to take place. Now, related back to the Constitution, we need to make sure that courts are accessible to the public and the media. So you can't just do a private phone conference to resolve a case. You need to have equipment in the courtroom that's publicly accessible so any member of the public can walk into any courtroom in the state and observe how the court is conducting business.
Well, Judge, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Randy Koshnick has been director of the Wisconsin court system since 2017. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.